This is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for tuning in today for this edition of Family Talk. Every day we strive to bring you programs that will help strengthen your family. And to do this, we need your help. We need your prayers. And we also need your financial contributions. You know that Dr. Dobson has been fighting for the family for over 40 years now, and he's not about to stop. Believe you me. Here's Roger Marsh with more information on how you can support the ministry of Family Talk.
And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
The Bible is very clear in 2 Timothy that believers should fervently pray for our elected leaders, and Paul didn't qualify that command by excluding those in power who we disagree with. Our responsibility is simply to intercede for those tasked with leadership. You're listening to Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh with your host, psychologist and popular author, Dr. James Dobson. Today you'll hear from a couple who are passionate about ministering to government officials around the world. Their names are Ralph and Danielle Drollinger, and their organization is called Capital Ministries. Their mission is to preach the gospel to public servants and mentor them in their daily walks. A few months ago, they sat down with Dr. Dobson to explain their heart for these individuals. But as we start, Dr. Dobson unpacks how he became close friends with the Drollingers. Here's part one of their conversation we've titled, Rebuilding America, Evangelism on Capitol Hill.
I want to tell you that I am so excited today to have a couple of longtime friends here with us in the studio. I mean, this goes way, way back. And I'm speaking of Ralph and Danielle Drollinger. Ralph will be remembered, especially to his basketball fans, for his play at the University of California, Los Angeles. That's known as UCLA. And I don't like to utter those words if I don't have to. But in this case, it's necessary, and we're great rivals at USC. And this man has caused me a lot of grief because he was a very, very effective center in his last year at UCLA. He's a big dude, 7'1". His team at UCLA went on to win the NCAA National Championship under legendary coach John Wooden, who was, of course, the winningest coach, I think, in collegiate history. And Danielle is also distinguished in her own right. She's been a defender of conservative causes at the California State Legislature for many years, and that's when I came to know her. Because she was very effective in that responsibility. Both these folks are absolutely committed to the cause of Christ, and it's such a pleasure to have them here to talk about their ministry in Washington, D.C., which I find very, very exciting. Ralph and Danielle are co-founders of Capital Ministries. That goes back to 1996, and they've been in Congress and in Washington, D.C. for 9 years, I believe, and they are doing so much impressive work in the nation's capital today, and I'm anxious to tell you about it. Ralph, you and I have another history together, kind of a unexpected moment that occurred. I think it was 1988 when I had invited Pete Maravich, the great basketball player from LSU and then the NBA. He was coming out to do a radio program with us, Focus on the Family at that time. And he had written a book called Heir to a Dream. It was about his father. And I asked him if he would like to come out and play basketball with us. We played three times a week, and we were just a bunch of duffers. The night before that, I called you. I said, listen, anybody playing on my team that's going to be able to guard this dude. And
you wanted to win so bad, you called me to make me get up at 4 in the morning to drive down and be on your team so that we could beat Pete Maravich.
Did you get up at 4 to be there?
Well, I was living in Lake Arrowhead at that point, so I had to drive down.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I forgive you.
That was quite a morning, wasn't it?
Quite a morning, yes, sir.
Because we played for about 45 minutes and everybody took a break. You and I kind of stayed on the court. I stayed talking to Pete. Pete and I were talking and he dropped dead.
Yeah.
And
just
I
like
called
that.
For you guys to come help me. I started CPR and you did the chest pump.
And the CPR, so, because it took like a century for the ambulance to get there. It seemed like
that
forever.
That was a highly, highly emotional day. I've talked about it many times. Give me your perspectives on what happened that day.
Well, it's everything and more than what you say in terms of an impact on emotion. It's not too many of us who have not been in the military to see someone die in our presence, and that's what happened. But it always rings in my heart, Dr. Dobson, the fragility of life and the assumption we have that we're going to live another day. And so it makes me think of the cliche, only what's done for Christ will last. You know, only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And you've been exemplary in terms of your work ethic. I don't believe theologically in retirement. And once God saves us out of this world, we have a dutifulness to him to really serve him and build his kingdom. And we can't presume that tomorrow we'll be able to do that. So we have to work our hardest today for a whole life.
That poem that you just quoted was on the wall of my grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with that there. Yeah. Only what's done for Christ will last.
And I'm thinking, too, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
I wonder if you remember what happened after the ambulance had come and they had decided that he wasn't going to make it and that he was gone.
We went to the hospital together.
We followed
you and I,
the ambulance.
And we sat there a lot of hours reflecting.
In fact, because he had no family there, the hospital allowed our little team to surround his body. You remember bringing us into that examining room, and we all held hands and prayed and prayed for his family and prayed for his kids. And we had the responsibility of calling to tell them that he wasn't coming back.
Yeah. I'm remindful, too, of my days at UCLA. In the summers, I would climb in the Alps. I'm from a mountaineering family, and I would study at La Brie under Francis Schaeffer. And
Did you really?
Yeah, he was just being published, starting to be published then. And one of his great sermons that reminds me of what we're talking about was called Ash Heap Lives. And in that, his sermon, he said that we ought to often go to the city dump to see where people without Christ spend and how their life ends up. And there's something to be said about being with someone who actually dies in your hands, what that does in terms of your own spiritual sobriety.
I've never been the same since then.
It creates a sobriety of the temporalness of life. Mm. And you better work industriously for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, how else can you say thanks for the things he's done for you? Things so undeserved, yet he gives to prove his love to you.
And you're not guaranteed one minute.
That's right. And so here we have this heart of gratitude for Christ saving us that says, I want to lay up for myself treasures in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could talk to you all day about that day, but that's not what we're here for. We want to talk about your ministry. Danielle, I met you when you were working in the state legislature in California. There were terrific battles going on even then over righteousness. It wasn't as bad as it is now, but you had your hands full. And mm-hmm. quickly you stood out as somebody who would not compromise mm-hmm. and worked as diligently as, Ralph, you've just been talking about. In advancing the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm. You couldn't talk much about the gospel then, I guess, but you sure did everything short of that. And we so admired what you did that eventually you came to work for Focus on the Family. And it's a pleasure to have you here today because I have very warm memories mm-hmm. of what you did during those years.
Well, what an honor it is to be here with you, Dr. Dobson. You're one of my heroes. Mm. And way back when I was working for the state Senate, trying to make a difference, I wanted to make a difference, especially with the social issues of our culture. Focus on the Family and your public policy department snagged me away and said, we want to hire you to do just this, you know, to work on these issues. So I did that for quite a while with you until you said, Danielle, I think there's a job in D.C. I want you to apply for. My buddy Frank Wolf, mm-hmm. he used to be in the Congress, had a new subcommittee, Children, Youth, and Families, and I think you're the perfect director for that. So unbeknownst to me, I applied, he hired me, and off to D.C. I went.
But he's been a friend. He's now retired from the Congress, but he was there more than 30 years, mm-hmm. and what a magnificent job he did. But I had forgotten that I recommended you to him. And then you were in Congress for how long?
Not that long until a bunch of your other buddies in California called me back and said, Danielle, we want you to come back and start a political action committee to actually run guys and gals that are Christians to office and see if we can make a difference that way. So I left D.C. and came back to California and did that during the Gingrich Revolution. And we won something like 35 races. We're able to get rid of Willie Brown for a few days because we had just the majority by one vote. And so he just kept buying off our Republican friends. So from that point is when Ralph and I remember our first date. We talked about my frustrations with sending people to Sacramento, spending these millions of dollars of evangelical dollars, sending men and women into office, and yet they're away from their family and their church for, you know, 5 days a week, every week, and they just weren't making an impact. And I said, I think that we need to look at this a little differently and look at it from a spiritual perspective. Can we, in my mind, I'm thinking, can we hire one chaplain for the state Senate and the assembly up in Sacramento and just kind of root them in their faith, be at the other end of their life? Well, the whole time I'm thinking one state, Ralph's thinking the whole world.
It is fascinating to hear how this evangelism-based organization got started. I'm Roger Marsh, and we have arrived at the midpoint of today's edition of Family Talk, a production of the James Dobson Family Institute. You're listening to a conversation Dr. Dobson had with Ralph and Danielle Drollinger, founders of Capital Ministries. Did you know that Family Talk is funded by listeners just like you? Your tax-deductible financial contributions allow us to continue fighting for marriages and families around the world. Learn how you can donate by visiting drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877-732-6825. As we rejoin the broadcast, Dr. Dobson asks the Drollingers to share their salvation stories. Let's listen in.
How long have you known the Lord? Were you raised in a Christian family?
I was, but I was quite the rebellious young lady.
And you were rebellious?
Oh, yes.
Really?
She still is a little bit.
I can see it.
No, and the Lord halted my life when I was 20 years old, put me in a hospital bed, couldn't move very well, took me off of everything that I was involved with, and I read the Gideon Bible because I was all alone. My mom and dad were there, but they were very angry at that point because they found out all of what I was doing as a young non-Christian girl, even though I knew better. And I opened the Bible and read The Woman at the Well, and I said, if you're really the Lord, you can have my heart. Because that's me right there in Scripture. And that was the day the Lord saved me. And from then on, it's been different.
It's still very tender for you, isn't it?
Of course.
I see it in
yes.
your eyes.
You know? Yes, right.
And when you came out of the hospital, you were dedicated to the Lord?
Yes, I was. And of course, at that point, I was too sick to go anywhere except home. So I sat in late in my bed at my parents' house, which I didn't really want to be back at my parents' house. But my grandmother, I'll never forget her. She would, when I'd go in to take my shower or get ready, she would plug in David Jeremiah just far enough from me that I couldn't turn it off. And she would just blast that in my room and mm-hmm. disciple me that way. And of course, my mom did the same thing, just really discipled me, walked me through it. I have godly parents. And the Lord just slowly but surely, you know, changed my heart and my life.
Is that where the passion for conservative causes came?
And besides really waiting tables, Dr. Dobson, I think my very first job after Sacramento was with you, where my heart desires were being accomplished. You know, I was going to be able to do something that my heart was really saying I wanted to do. The Lord was calling me to this. Mm-hmm. And that was a real focal point in my life, you know, or change.
Yeah, Ralph, when did you become acquainted with the Lord?
I grew up in a quasi-Christian home. I think we went to church a half dozen times my whole childhood in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And the few times that we went to Tim LaHaye's church. Mm. And I can still remember him in one of those six ventures to church. Using
that Shadow Mountains?
Well, it was before Shadow Mountain. It was a church out on the plains above San Diego, which is the church that then bought that campus.
Yeah.
And Tim LaHaye actually had three campuses, the downtown campus, the eastern campus would now be Shadow Mountain, and they had one in Escondido, which would be to the north. But then when Tim LaHaye retired the pulpit to David Jeremiah, he consolidated it all at Shadow Mountain. But the one time that I heard Tim LaHaye preach, he was using the analogy of turning on a lamp. You know, there's no light under this lampshade, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit can turn on that lamp. Mm-hmm. And I remember that, and it didn't really come together until I was a senior year in high school, and a couple of the cheerleaders of our high school basketball team invited me to go to a Youth for Christ Bible study. And that night I heard the gospel and it all came together. And I invited Jesus into my heart that night. I remember going home. This was La Mesa, California. It's east of San Diego. And reading through the whole Gospel of Matthew, I just couldn't put it down. And I grew really very
rapidly. Isn't
that
interesting? The word really got to the two of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
separately.
It just came alive.
Absolutely.
It used to be a book that I thought I would someday read. It was always kind of a dusty volume in our home. And every time I picked it up and tried to read it, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. But now it was just alive and I couldn't put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to see who Jesus was and what he wanted from me. And by the time I graduated from high school and went to UCLA and graduated from there, I was ready to go into full-time ministry.
Hmm. You could have gone into the NBA at that point.
Yeah. For 4 years, I actually turned down NBA contracts to play with Athletes in Action. And I went to 35 countries of the world playing their best amateur teams with AIA and preaching the gospel at halftime.
Isn't it interesting that you didn't know the Lord, either one of you, and that he knew you, and he wanted you.
That's right.
Isn't it interesting that he sought you out? He got the Bible into your hands.
That's right.
He
yeah.
brought the discipling that you were given because he had a job for you to do, and that's what you're doing today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just amazing to see where we're at today relative to where we've come from. It's all by his grace.
By his grace.
I remember that. I think it's John 15:16 says, to your point, you did not choose me, Jesus says, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain.
All right, let's talk about Capital Ministries, which—
Do you really want to do that? That's a long story. We're having a good time talking about this stuff.
It's fun to talk about, but I really want our listeners to know that there's reason for excitement and enthusiasm and optimism over what's going on in the federal government and even in the states across the country It is amazing to me. I've been at this a long time. You know, I've been on the radio for 42 years
or something.
You're
just getting started, Dr. Dobson. I think you're just a young buckaroo.
Well, it goes
You've
back.
You've got a promising future.
I've been
future.
At this a long time. But I can tell you there have been moments when I despaired of what was happening to our country. We lost one Supreme Court decision or case after another. And it seemed like when somebody was elected to the presidency like Ronald Reagan, and it looked like he was going to be able to pull the country back. Well, he did for a time, but, you know, he's only there 8 years, and then things changed. Bill Clinton came in and reversed a lot of the work that I tried to do through the Pornography Commission and Gambling Commission, and it has never really recovered since then. So this is the first time that I've said, Lord, you are here. And you are doing something.
It's really exciting.
In this country.
So exciting.
It really Share is. Your excitement about what's taking place there.
Well, when we started Capital Ministries in the California Capitol in 1996, as you alluded to earlier, we had on our hearts the idea of, like FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, goes to high school campuses and builds athletes in Christ with a good, talented disciple maker who uses the Word of God, or Crew, Campus Crusade for Christ, formerly on college campuses, or think of Youth for Christ, how I came to Christ through a high school ministry. We have nothing really of the sort on capital campuses, be they the federal, the state, or even local government campuses, wherein we have Bible teachers that are mentoring up-and-coming or existing political leaders. And so with that idea, Capital Ministries was born 21 years ago. And now I think we've started ministries in 42 state capitals with Bible teachers, and we've been in D.C.
I hope everybody caught that.
Yeah.
You know, the way
Am I speaking too fast, Dr. Dobson?
you're handling it well, but I just want to make sure, you know, sometimes those things go past this.
Yeah.
But there are 50 states, and you've got ministries and expressions of capital ministries in 42
that we have started. There is three, as we did our surveying. In 1996, there was three state capitals that already had what we'd call a capital ministry, which was, you know, there's a lot of prayer groups and fellowship groups. But in terms of a intentional, deliberate, biblically reliant discipleship ministry with in-depth Bible teaching every week where someone's taking you through the whole counsel of God, there wasn't much of that. And so now, by God's grace, not that all our capital ministries brand, but we've been able to germinate through our influence either a capital ministry per se brand or independent of some sort ministry that is proclaiming the Word of God with the intentionality of making men and women mature in Christ.
Well, describe what's going on in the Congress.
Yeah.
You started in the House, didn't you? And then
so about 8-9 years ago, we went to D.C. after having a lot of success with state capital starts. And Danielle and I off to D.C. we went, and a couple of the congressmen invited us in. We came in on their coattails in the House, started a House Bible study. And then, long story short, some of those House guys got elected to the Senate, and they said, hey, we like the high-protein diet of the Word of God. There's nothing else like it here. Come on with us. So we started the Senate member Bible study. And then when Trump was elected, all of a sudden, someone in the Trump administration was plucking guys out of our House and Senate Bible study. And we could see, something's happening here. Interesting. And so those guys said, about six of them that were now cabinet secretaries, let's start a White House cabinet member Bible study. And now we have 11 White House cabinet members in our weekly Wednesday morning Bible study.
Does that amaze you?
It's amazing.
And Dr. Dobson, it's the best Bible study I've ever been involved with. They come early. They leave late. They just are devouring the Word.
Is that right?
It's so exciting.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and they let me teach for the longest time without interrupting me. You know, the House and Senate guys, they like to interrupt me, but not the cabinet guys. They're a little more dignified, especially than those House members.
Are you in the Senate also?
Yeah, we have 12 of the Senate members now in our Bible study out of the 100. And with this upcoming election, people get out and vote. Mm. We see seven more on the horizon that'll be prime candidates for the for an in-depth Bible study in the Senate.
You know, we're out of time. We talked a lot about basketball today and other things. So
well, that's your doing, not mine.
That's not my fault.
Yes,
that's what
it
I'm
is.
Excited about, too. So let's just
let's continue on,
and we'll let people hear next time what we're about to say.
You
is
bet.
That all right?
Amen.
Okay, thanks for being with us today. It's been a pleasure, and sit tight.
It's encouraging to hear how the gospel is transforming the hearts and minds of our political leaders. You can learn more about Capital Ministries by visiting the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. From there, you can also learn how to acquire a copy of their four-volume book set called Oaks in Office. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then tap onto the broadcast icon at the top of the page. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for part two of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with the Drollingers. They'll talk more about their ministry and how they are evangelizing to leaders all over the world. That's coming up next time right here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.